A weak solidarity Bricky Team listener when a caring, distraught mother attempted vainly to protect her child from a blatant act of child cruelty as a middle-aged man playing soccer with small children laid a rugby tackle, crushing an innocent child into the ground. "Look, Mummy, look!" "Don't look, dear. Turn your head away." "Mummy, who is that big bully?" "That's the Prime Minister, dear." Yes, big Supremo Scuttlebem Morlash son, a.k.a. Scummo's election campaign had come to this, kicking a soccer ball round with little kids and laying one low with a rugby tackle. Did you get your games mixed up, Scummo?
It was nothing to do with me. I was just protecting myself like I protect the whole country, including that child. And after all, the child shouldn't have been there. Just think, if the Socialist Party had tackled him, he would have been seriously hurt.
Just think. One of Scummo's great ministerial minds, Stuart Rob Werkersertz, did tell an ABC reporter the kid was to blame.
"It was both their faults," he actually said. Apparently the kid grabbed Scummo and pulled him down.
It's understandable that Scummo may have genuinely confused his football codes because he saw all the kids as a prop. Then again, we're becoming used to brilliant comments from Scummo and his team. Remember last week we came up with several Mensa material quotes from Hayseed and Sheepshit Party Supremo Barnacle. Like, ask why Scummo is not exactly madly popular.
"You don't have to like your dentist, you just have to believe they are competent, because when they have got that drill in your mouth, you want to make sure they hit the right tooth."
As we said, we've got no idea of the relationship between the question and the answer. But his colleague, the Minister for Being Offensive and Train-Killing, Constable Peter Duffer, made a strong bid this week to outdo Barnacle in the logic and clarity stakes. After the media revealed the Socialist Party had not been briefed until the last minute on the nuclear subs deal. And as the Socialist Party criticised Pete and the team over not being briefed, Pete said they weren't briefed because they are a security risk. And the fact that they have complained about not being briefed proves they are a security risk. Damn. Once again, we can't compete with that. Thank goodness the caring business class, Hayseed and Sheepshit lot are no security risk. Unless some gutless pacifists think itching to go to war is a security risk. So presumably this leak yesterday from the Government Security Committee was not a security risk.
"Of course it's a like security risk," Pete countered. "And this leak shows once and for all how the Socialist Party is like a security risk."
"Hang on, a leak from your party shows the Socialist Party is a security risk?"
"It's the only logical, you know, like, explanation."
Spill explanation, Pete. Socialist Party Supremo and would-be Big Supremo, Anthony Albanese, promised the caring business class he would create a win-win environment for caring business and lazy, avaricious workers. World's greatest, worst ex-treasurer, Paul, like he said, and haven't workers benefited from that win-win? "What you can have," Anthony explained, "is through genuine negotiation, improvements that increase both business profitability and wages. That's the Keating model." And goodness me, the Keating model certainly achieved the first bit of that. Obviously, the increase in profits wasn't quite enough to achieve the second bit. Workers just weren't productive enough. Nonetheless, a deal with the caring business class is clearly, although not exactly obviously, a hard left position. As the Lord Rupert of Wapping Sin devoted two whole pages to analysing the Socialist Party policies, and every single one of them would destroy everything Trubler Aussie stands for. Or correctly, for which it stands, but never mind, because Lord Rupert declared Anthony is a far-left danger on the same level of danger as State Supremo the Pejorative Dan, both out-of-control hard-left, indicating Lord Rupert has noticed something that's escaped us completely. But it reveals the impartiality and generosity of the filthiest rich of the filthy rich that they were prepared to attend a breakfast with Anthony where this hardline socialist was seen laughing and socialising with some of the biggest corporate barons in the country who, poor dears, didn't realise the danger they were playing with. with Anthony asked what he would consider his legacy, declaring climate action, indicating a man of very limited ambition. The Socialist Party economic guru and would-be big economic guru Jim Chalmers Capital said he intended to enter an accord with big business at face value, hardly the hard left out of control socialist Lord Rupert has fingered. But think about it. It's brilliant. Because the previous accord by the nuclear hawk Paul government with the evil unions worked a treat in shrieking union membership and influence, allowing the sensible laws that prevent and make a crime, in fact, of evil unions doing what unions are there to do. So Jim is on the ball. He figures an accord with the class enemy, while he praises the private sector, very clever, with the class enemy will similarly destroy capitalism as we know it, allowing laws that prevent capitalism doing what capitalism is there to do. Genius! Lord Rupert was spot on. Hard left ideologues. We assume an accord with caring business would prevent them making applications to increase their profits, putting a lid on profit increases in return for benefits from corporate welfare. But then that wouldn't be much different to now, other than there's no limit on both profits and corporate welfare. But given the evil unions accord presumed the public purse would pick up wage increases on behalf of the caring employers, then a caring business accord presumably would see the workers' pockets pick up profits on behalf of caring employers. But again, that's what happens now anyway. So we'll have to wait and see what Jim has in mind other than the destruction of capital. On Anthony's climate action boast, the Socialist Party policy is based on a system introduced by former Big Supremo, Tiny a Bit More for the Bosses. So that's encouraging. Yet cruelly, Pacific Islanders this week claimed the policy was posturing, supporting ongoing thermal coal exports does not demonstrate a genuine and enduring commitment. They displayed their selfish concern only for themselves, as long as their homes remain above the briny. And to show how out of balance are the socialist policies, the Trublowassee Petroleum and Exploration Profits Association's conference this week said the oil and gas industry's $500 billion a year economic benefit to all of us could be at risk if an incoming government is taken over by misguided politics. Given a Murdoch University study has shown both the coalition and socialist climate change, if there is such a thing, policies, would lead to a 3-degree increase, let alone the 1.5% committed to in the Paris Agreement, then we can only hope those misguided parties and groups posing a threat to that 500 bill aren't in a position to destroy the economy, which will itself do a bit of destruction, but we will all profit as the planet goes down the capitalist gurgler. On the side of the Angels, the besieged Tim Wilbach Capital son is described as a moderate, which, given his connections to the Institute of Public Very, Very Private Affairs and his role 3 years ago in convincing pensioners they'd all or we'd all suffer if the socialists tax the rich, says heaps about those not considered moderate. If Tim's a moderate, the mind boggles at what they might consider immoderate. And this time round, Tim, on behalf of the Institute of Public Very, Very Private, is celebrating their housing policy aimed, it seems, less at putting first home buyers they tell us they so care about into a home, but more about smashing the evil superannuation system which the Institute has long campaigned to destroy. All that lovely, lovely money in the hands of evil unions and workers, for God's sake. The culmination of years of Tim painting superannuation as a threat to the greatest little economic order of them all, presumably by investing in capitalism like all capitalists do. And as the Institute of Public Very, Very Private's John Ross scam after scam said this week, the policy is regarded as a turning point in a multi-decade policy struggle. See, it shows just how much Scummo and the team really, really care about first home buyers and carrying out their orders from Tim and the Institute of Public Very, Very Private. Look, if only the evil unions would hand the control of all that lovely, lovely money to the banks and great financial institutions who understand the delicate flower that is the economy and stop showing them up by proving to be better capitalists,
And I'm sure we all hope that after tonight, poor moderate Tim won't be heading back to the Institute of looking for a job. As the Zion government continues to suggest it did not shoot an Al Jazeera journalist in the Palestinian non-peoples, non-land, known as Extended Zion, we can but presume that the uniformed thugs who beat up mourners at her funeral were evil non-people dressed up as Zion thugs. And if only the non-land, non-people would stop calling their expulsion from their own country as the disaster, they could go on to live unhappily in their non-land, because Zion knows it most certainly was not a disaster. And the murdered journalists carrying on about Zion practicing apartheid, so why would they want to kill her? Apropos of nothing, the wonders of modern technology. That Saudi bloke driving his Maserati through Rome, obeying his sat-nav, turn left, it said, and he turned straight into and down the Spanish Steps. Presume he can afford the huge repair bill for the damage. Finally, listener, as we breathe a sigh of relief that it's all over at last, tonight we can sit back and enjoy the one thing we're left to enjoy on election night: watching the losers lose. Good morning.